I want tonight to come onto familiar ground. I'm not suggesting that all scripture is not familiar to you. But what I am meaning is this, that at some time or another in these weekends that we have shared in now for these, oh, I don't know how many years or how long it's been going on, we have looked into the epistle of John, that first epistle, with some degree of blessing and measure of delight, I believe. At least I will impute that to you, in that even as I read that glorious letter again and again, and even if not reading it with open Bible, ponder on it in my heart. I am so blessed by its eternal truth that I cannot but think that you also will be blessed by the same things that fill my heart. And I suppose, too, that this must always be the measure of a preacher and of any man who would minister in the truth of God, that if it isn't of his own heart as well as of the scripture, if it isn't in his spirit as it is in the Holy Spirit, then it'll be little use passing on, and his time would be better spent other than speaking the truth that is his and the Lord's. And tonight I just want to dwell with you in this great letter, taking up some of the wonderful truth that's familiar to all our hearts, I am sure. If it may be that there is one or there are those here who has not read and reread this glorious little letter of 5 chapters, may I commend to you, even as I have done it myself again and again, read and reread this letter until its message burns like fire in your mind and illuminates your soul, and the great thrill and power and truth of it communicates itself to you by the Spirit until you are what this epistle says. Chiefly, one finds that the trouble with most of us is that we just either do not believe what we are, or for some reason or another, and it must be sin, we do not enjoy what we are in the revelation of truth. Now, I want to speak to you tonight that you may enjoy something of the greatness of the revelation that God makes here. Around just the name of Jesus Christ, I want to group our thoughts. Perhaps if you will look with me into the 5th chapter first. I am not intending to be completely categorical in all that I say, but in this great 5th chapter, in the 1st verse, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You know, beloved, I want to tell you that I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I wholly, emphatically believe. Now, you will see that I didn't say, and neither does the book say, that I believe in Jesus Christ. That's not what it says. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Now, seeing that it is thus spoken, it must be a very important thing to believe that Jesus is the Christ. And I wonder if you do believe that Jesus is the Christ. And in perhaps saying that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you do say so, what do you mean when you say it? For patently it isn't believing in a historical person that once appeared on the scene of time, whose life, that is, birth and death and so on, and all his miracles and sayings and so on, are recorded in the Bible, but to believe that Jesus is the Christ. One of the most important words in John's epistle, perhaps you wouldn't think so, is this little word of two letters, I-S, is. Jesus is the Christ. Not that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ, but Jesus is the Christ. And that the Christ appeared on earth as Jesus. He was always the Christ of God. And when he came down to earth, he was called Jesus. And that that person that appeared on the earth for 30 odd years is the eternal Christ. And he is the Christ now, as he was the Christ then, and eternally has been Christ. Glory be to his name. Jesus is the Christ. I'm born of God. I believe it. Tremendously, I believe it. You see, what you and I have to see is this. Look at verse 20 of chapter 5. We know that the Son of God is come. Now you will note, this isn't Second Advent truth. We believe that Jesus is coming again. That's not what we're saying. Neither is this historical truth, in that we believe that the Son of God did come once. We believe, now this is the important thing, beloved, and it's very important that we see this. We believe, we know that the Son of God is come. For instance, if I knew all your names tonight, and suddenly there was a phone message out there, and I knew you all very personally, very well, you know, like ABC, knew your names off slick, and said, it's a personal call for you, Mr. North, and I begged your pardon, and left the meeting for a moment because it was very urgent. Somebody says, is so-and-so there? See, and I knew, oh, yes, she's come. She has come. She has come. If they called me up half an hour after the meeting was finished, and supposing you'd come from Birmingham, and lots of people come further than that to these meetings, you'd be surprised. And I had to answer back, and I said, she did come. She has been here, but she's not here now. Now, do you see the importance of it? Jesus Christ, we know that the Son of God is come. Now there's only one way a man can know that. There's only one way he can know it. By knowing that he is come. He can't know it any other way. He can only know by knowing. You say, well, that's a funny way to speak. But it isn't really. If you look into the second chapter, this is the way the Holy Ghost speaks, for instance. This is what he says. In verse 3, we know that we know, you see. That's right. We know that we know. You see? This is the language. you can only know that you know. Now, you've got to know whether you know that Jesus is come. You see? You know I'm here. You know that you know I'm here. Now, you've got to know that you know. And this is one of the most wonderful things, beloved, in the whole of God's glorious provision and revelation in the book. We know that the Son of God is God. Now, listen. Let's look a little higher up in this chapter. Verse 6. Or look at the end of verse 5. Jesus, the Son of God, there it is. This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. There it is. Now I know I'm born again. I know that Jesus is come. And this is how He came to me. He came to me by water and blood. Wonderful, isn't it? That's how He came to me. You've got to know this Jesus. Now, you know how He came to Mary. If you read Luke chapter 1. You know how He came to Mary. You will know that the angel came and spoke to her. And all the wonder of how she became the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He didn't come to me like that. If you read in John's Gospel, for instance, this is what you'll find in John's Gospel. If you must understand this and understand this very clearly. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, this is what you read. Very famous verse. Verse 11. He came unto His own. By the way, He came to Mary. But His own, they didn't receive Him. And they crucified Him. And when they crucified the Lord Jesus, He did that thing, and the great thing happened to Him by which He may come to me. For He came to His own nation, we read a little lower in John's Gospel, by water. Verse 31 is John speaking. I didn't know Him, said John, but that He should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. You see? That's why John came. And He was announced to His nation by water. John baptized Him. He says not by water only, you see. John's very careful. In his epistle, John Baptist said, this is the Lamb of God. Jesus comes down and He comes to His own nation by water. And then He went to the cross. He'd come by water. And when He died on the cross, He shed His precious blood. Now, He couldn't come to me by the way He came to Mary. He couldn't come to me because this happened nearly 2,000 years ago. He couldn't come to me by water. But He could come to me only this way. First He had to come by water and then by blood. And you know this glorious truth, beloved. Well, I'm back in John's epistle now. Jesus, the Son of God, is He that came by water and by blood. Even Jesus Christ, not by water only. In other words, it's no good anyone in this room tonight just believing in the fact that Jesus Christ was born on the earth and was a wonderful man, and we believe he was the Son of God because we're a Christian nation sort of thing, and that's that. And he died on a cross, and all the rest of the story. Oh no, he's got to come to you. He's got to definitely come to you. In fact, this is what he said in John's Gospel. Let's go back to John's Gospel, shall we? When he wrote his epistle, John said, I'm not writing this epistle to you because you don't know the truth, in the second chapter. He said, I'm writing it to you because you do know the truth. And this great apostle was only saying, well, you people know all this. It's lovely to have the confirmation of an elder brother, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm just writing it to you so that you can say, wonderful, we're all sure of the same thing. Amen. That's what he was writing it for, you see. And that's what I'm talking to you for tonight. And in this great 14th chapter, this is what he says. He said that he was going away. John chapter 14. You have heard how I said unto you, verse 28, look at it. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again to you. Now, they're not talking about coming again for us, but coming again to us. He went away from them. He went away onto the cross, into death, down into Hades, rose again, came back, glory. He went away and came to them. And they saw him. Then he went away again. They saw him. And he went away again. They saw him in the upper room, you see, and he went away again. Saw him again in the upper room. Two on the road to him, and said, we saw him, and he went away again. And Peter said, we saw him, and he went away again. And he came and ate with them, and went away again. And then when 40 days passed, he came, and when 10 days passed after the last, those 40 days, he came, and he stayed. And he'd come by water and by blood. Glory to the name of the Lord. And he says in that epistle, did you notice it? That it is the Spirit that bears witness. Why? Because he can only come in spirit. He can't come into this room tonight and you touch him. He took flesh and blood that he might show you what was within that flesh and that blood, even God. And he shed that blood in order that he might atone for all our sins. But that's not the end of the story, that's just the beginning. And having dealt with our sins, and can wash us whiter than snow in his blood, he wants to come. Really come to you in spirit. Has he come to you like this? Has he come to you like this? Now, you see, this is how we know he's come. If we only had a Bible, we would say, well, we know he did come. We would say, we know he's coming again. The Bible says so. But all the great, great truth, beloved, that's the real reason for his having come and coming again, is that he might come. And we should be able to say, he's come. He's come. He's come. This is a wonderful thing, beloved, when the heart realizes this. as I've been pondering this a bit through the day, in the midst of a fairly busy day, this has been singing in my heart. He's come, he's come. Glory, I'm not waiting for him to come. He's come. Glory. Oh, how glorious it all is when you know Jesus is really come. Amen. Not that you're just sort of believing in the theory of it, you know, like that, which you should do, but that you know, you've got the sense of it, you've got the thrill of it, you've got the joy of it, you've got the realization of it. Your very flesh is sanctified. Your very body, you know it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this is what John says. Let's look in the fourth chapter. Listen. He says, verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit, that is, every spirit that's ever been on this earth, that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. That's it, you see, the very flesh is sanctified. What a wonderful thing to say, he's come. Oh, the glory and the joy of knowing, beloved, that your very flesh is, as it were, if I may say so, the flesh of Jesus. Because he's come. Amen. And he hasn't come like a little sort of a corn of wheat that's poked away somewhere inside. Thank you. And he hasn't come just to take up a little corner of your mind. But that he's come to fill and fill and fill every part of a man's life. That's what he comes for. Everything. He's come. The consciousness of it is there. When you realize it in your own heart, why, everything is glorious and everything is precious. Oh, there's a newness about everything. You don't need texts to tell you that if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. You don't need that. Thank God it's there. It's a good guide. It's truth that we need to be told. But you know it. He's come, brother, he's come. What are you waiting for? What are you hoping for? He's come. What a blessed and glorious thing it is. Now, is this the way you talk? This is the believing that Jesus is the Christ. This is what it is. You see, Christ means the Messiah, the anointed king. Well, if you say a person is a king, you mustn't think that Jesus is prepared to be a king without reigning and ruling. If you say Jesus is a king, tell me what he's reigning over. Jesus isn't a king in exile. Jesus isn't a king without a crown. Jesus isn't a king without a kingdom. Jesus is a king, a glorious, present, reigning king. And how do I know? Because he's come. That's how I know. I don't think of him as sort of saviour, healer, baptizer and coming king. Glory, he is coming. Of course he's coming. But he's king, he's the Christ. This is what it all means. Here, glory. Oh, it's a wonderful thing when every particle of a man's soul and every thought of his mind and every glorious thing, all of him is alive with this knowledge. So that it seems that the sun is radiating everywhere. Now that's what God intends. Beloved, glory, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? What size Christ? What sort of Christ? A whereabouts Christ, is he? Praise God. When you know it's sort of not sort of reigning over you and having to sort of keep you down as though you've got a lot of rebel stuff inside you, but he's so reigning over you, these coordinated mind and memory and will and imagination and everything in all under his control, emotions and affections, and he's done it all. This is how he proves he's Christ. He's ruling. Sin ruling inside. I'm not a disrupted being inside. And this is breaking out here, rebelling here, and erupting somewhere else. Hallelujah. He's the Christ. He reigns. He's sovereign. He's absolute king. He's undethronable. He's glorious inside. Not just him, but he makes you his glory, and makes you his righteousness, and makes you his peace, and he makes you his love, and he makes you his joy. And everybody knows it too, when you come up against them. He makes you into his heaven, and for that matter, you into his new earth. It's all happened. A man gets beside himself to talk about it. His mind cannot take in that which is radiating in his spirit. See, what a lot of super special people these are. No, these are normal Christians. This is what it's all about. It's all so wonderful. This is he that came by water and blood. This could only happen to those who believed unto the receiving of him after the day, or on and after the day of Pentecost. Couldn't happen for them. Wonderful. In the flesh he's come. And it's the Spirit that bears witness. It's the Spirit that bears witness. Because the Spirit is truth. Truth is Spirit. Truth isn't just something that the mind can get hold of and sort of string together like beads on a string, text, you know, and say this is that and all the other and oh no, no, no. It's something that the Spirit knows. Now, the Spirit can't make you know it. You can't know this in your spirit without it be absolutely true in you. You see? Unless it's true of you, you can't know it. You can believe it all in the Bible and it not be true of you. Well, I'm constantly meeting these people. This seems to take up quite 50% of my living. Meeting people who say, now Mr. North, I believe all that, but it isn't true of me, you see. I believe it all. That's right. You see, this is you. It's this sort of topsy-turvy kind of Christianity that people have got today. It's this thing that's called Bible believing or gospel believing, instead of knowing that it's truth, and you can only know it in your spirit, you see. Here. You know it in your spirit. It's a thing that's radiating from your spirit. It's not something you take in your mind, see, with a Bible. It's something that's here. Glory. There it is. You couldn't deny it if you tried. And all the devils in hell can't do anything about it except gnash their teeth. That's all. Let's go on, shall we? This is wonderful. In the fourth chapter, and in verse 15, listen this. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. I'll tell you. God dwelleth in him. See, so John, he says, I'm only writing to you because you know the truth. He's telling them. He says, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Oh, glory. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, I want to confess to you that Jesus is the Son of God. He's sublime. He's wonderful. He's unsurpassable. He's glorious. He's transporting. You say, what language to use? Yes, I'm sorry I'm beggared for words. It's a marvellous thing. I'm not paid to be a preacher man to find out fine sermons and pretty words to use. I'm only coming to confess the truth that I know. And if a man can't do that, he's no preacher. Kick him out. It's nothing that he can get from college. And by reading somebody's theology. Nothing at all. In fact, that's liable to make him a bit of an imbecile if he does that. The thing that's true is that it's all in the Spirit. You see, you can't understand the things of the Spirit of God. You can't. The Spirit of God just comes and it all has to be at something done inside you. It's all power. It's all tremendous. But people are being palmed off. Not by the palmers, but they're being palmed off on believing this and reading this book and now read that book. And oh, this is marvellous, you see. Instead of they, it's something that God comes and does inside. And you, beloved, you've got to be able to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess it. Amen. Now, that's different from confessing sin, isn't it? That's different from confessing misery and defeat and failure, isn't it? I confess to you that Jesus is the Son of God. And when I can confess it, not just talk about it and discuss it and point you to all the scriptures and doctrines and theology about it, do you see? But when I can confess it, so well, how do you know? Well, there you are. You read it in the theology, didn't you? No, I didn't. You read it. No, I didn't. Oh, somebody taught you. No, they didn't. But I confess to you that Jesus is the Son of God. See, I know him. I've tasted him, heard him, handled him. I've spent nights loving him. Days adoring him, nearly a lifetime preaching him, would be some people's lifetime. Hallelujah. I confess to you that I know, I've proved that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I confess it to you. There you are. That's my confession. Anybody can do that, that can do that. God dwells in him, and he dwells in God. He doesn't live in sin. He doesn't live in the world. He doesn't live in himself and his own thoughts. He lives in God. He dwells in God and God dwells in him. These are the tests whether a man lives in God or God lives in him. Not that he believes the right things. It's that he can confess truth. Listen, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I confess that he's the Son of God. Now, John Baptist couldn't do that. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb to do his job. He could not confess that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He could point him out and say, he's the Lamb of God. He could point him out and testify and bear record and all the other things, bear witness, see, that he was the Son of God because of the signs. But mine aren't through signs. You can only sort of bear witness through signs and testify. You could, because the signs are right. But when you confess, oh, what a truth that is. A man that confesses, he's been in it, through it, done it, he's lived it, he's heard it, he's done everything when he confesses. See, I can't confess to you that drugs and drug smoking and that is this and the other. I believe it, I'll testify to you, I'll bear witness, I know all the signs about drug addiction. But I can't confess to anything to you about taking trips. Don't really matter. But I can tell you all the signs. I can bear witness about it. You can put me up in a box. I've handled drug addicts and I don't know what I haven't. But I can give you all the signs, know them all. Bear testimony, say, yes, this woman, this man is a certain drug addict. Point them out to you. See? I can't confess it. I might be regarded as a very reliable witness on some things. Only the man that's taken the trips on SLD can confess. That's all. Now, this is the big thing. Only they can confess. You others may believe. You others may see the signs and say you believe and bear witness. But oh, the confession. God dwelled in that man. Oh, amen. Well, that's what he brings you through. God dwells in you to bring you to this confession. And you dwell in God for this confession. Beloved, that Jesus is the Son of God. Glory. Look at your next verse. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. What is it? I know and believe the love that God has to me. I'll tell him now. I'll look up into his Father's eyes and I'll say, Father, Jesus is the Son of God. I believed it. I know it. And now I can confess it. Ooh, I say, beloved ones, God is love. God's love. Yes. What a glorious, glorious truth this is. Now, no one else knows. Everybody in the world may believe it. Everybody in the world ought to believe it. But these are they that know. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I suppose we must go on for the sake of time. What is the time? We'll turn that clock round, brother. Chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 23. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Amen. As he gave us commandment. Now listen, I believe on the name of Jesus Christ, and I love you, and I believe I can love anybody on that name. Glory. I believe on the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And moreover, I tell you what, I believe on that name because it's associated with what's in my flesh. He's come in the flesh. I believe on that name, beloved, because it's absolutely logical to believe on that name. I believe on that name because that name that was given to that person embraces me and what's in me. That name. Oh, that name can be named on what's in me. Hallelujah. This is the wonder of it, beloved. Glory. And I can believe on the name of Jesus and I can love you. Easily, easily. Love isn't the supreme effort of a heart, not when they're here. Love is the easiest thing. It may be the supreme passion, it may be the supreme crowning thing of a life, but it's the easiest thing. When God loved the world, he did the easiest thing. The thing that was natural to him. When you do the thing that's natural to you, it's the easiest thing you do, isn't it? Well, what's the easiest thing you do? Get irritable? Lose your temper? What's the easiest thing you do? Become stubborn? Morose? Short? Snarling? Snappy? What's the easiest thing that you do? That's your nature. That's what's natural to you. Argumentative? What is it, the easiest thing you do? Oh, get splitting headaches. Big depressions. Moods. Is that the easiest thing about you? How can you say that Jesus is in your flesh? How can you say it? Ah, beloved. How can you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Christ is the coordinator. He rules everything. Amen. This is what the book is saying, beloved. You are to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. We should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Listen to the King speaking as he gave us commandment. So I wish he hadn't given us that commandment. I mean, it's not an easy one to keep. Now listen, beloved, when he gives commandments, they are laws working in the spirit. They're not words uttered for you to grasp and try to commit to paper or memory and try to practice them. God knows you can't do that. Jesus Christ is come. He's come. He gives us commandment to love one another, and his commandments are in the spirit. They're not just written in the book on paper. They're in spirit. And he commands us to love one another. Praise God. No, there are lots of people who try to duck out of the way of that love. They won't come to it. They don't want anything of it. Well, you're not to be blamed then. You see. But nevertheless, There's love there for all, comfort and blessing for all. Is that right? Anybody can have it. Anybody. Well, it sounds like God, doesn't it? Anybody can come and be blessed by. Anybody can be saved. Anybody. That's right. That's what it's meant to sound like. We're talking about Jesus Christ come, not gone, but come. Let's have a look. Let's go back in that fifth chapter and then we'll come back to chapter 1. In the fifth chapter, we'll read again. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? He overcomes the world. All worldliness and the way the world goes on. It doesn't just mean the flashing lights of Oxford Circus or something like that when it talks about the world, or the West End or nightclubs and all this business. Most of that's filth. But the world, he overcomes all the rules and regulations and the way the world runs its life. Why, some of us were talking today. We stopped at a certain place. We had to eat something in the middle of the day, and about the only place we could come to was a little more expensive than we would like to have paid. But never mind, we went in and we had a little bit to eat there, and then we just sat there, and there was something called an orchestra going over the air. I suppose I looked up where the speakers were, and there was this happening and that happening, and you know, and we said, some people would say, oh, let's have a run out to this restaurant and for the evening, you know, we'll have a night out sort of thing. This is the way they live. It's God, the world. It's the way the world lives. They think it's wonderful. It's all they live for. This sort of thing. But he that believes that Jesus is the Christ doesn't waste his time like that. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you overcome the world. You overcome it. He doesn't overpower you. You don't have to give in to it. Stick it as long as you can and then sort of give in. You overcome it all. Glory. And you know, beloved, the world is very insistent and persistent. It presses in on this angle and it presses in on that angle. And you get something come through your door and it says, if you do this, you'll get so-and-so free. And it's all sort of pushed in. And you see it in the various homes you go in, you know where they come from, these books and things that they've got through bargain offers and this, that and the other. And oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. But you overcome the world. It's out. Now, beloved, you and I are to see this. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We don't believe that Jesus is the Son of this world, do we? We don't believe that Jesus was the Son of his age, do we? Do you believe that Jesus would succumb to the things of the world today? Do you really think that Jesus would go about with a jet aeroplane today? Or do you think he'd still walk round some Nazarene roads and find the little back alleys where people need him? Or do you think he'd take Wembley Stadium? I don't know. You'd better sort that out. What do you think he'd do? I think he'd gather a few people round him and he'd move round where everybody could come and touch his clothes. He wouldn't say, keep them all fenced off now, put a barrage of lights up, microphones like this, you see. Don't they? He'd say, let them all come. Turn his back to a woman because he knows that she's trembling and doesn't know quite what to do and very, very timid. so that she can sneak up and touch his clothes, you see, and then say, no, no, come back. I'll let you do it. Now come here and tell everybody about it, you see? You wouldn't have to write and book up an interview with him. This is right. This is our Lord Jesus. He overcomes it all. There's a great, sweet humility about the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there about you? You see, beloved, what we're all talking about, don't you? And what this glorious apostle was saying, perhaps we'll see it a little more closely in the first chapter. Let's have a look into the first chapter. And in verse 3, this is what we read. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is a precious thing, beloved. Fancy this. You know, just as though you were the only one. Now, forget about everything else at the moment. Forget about everyone else at the moment. Don't be selfish, but let's just think. Here it is. Father and Jesus and just you. Glory. Ooh. God, if I could have that. I wouldn't want the world. It would all die on me. It would all... I wouldn't want that. Well, that's what it means. I wouldn't have any more appetite or desire for this. Is this really so? Really? Father? Jesus? And me? Now, that's what it's to be. But you say this is... You mean Father, Son and Holy Ghost? No, Father, Son and you. See, what, I? In the, sort of taking the person of the Holy... the place of the Holy Ghost? Yeah, yeah. Wonderful Trinity, isn't it? When the Holy Ghost, you see, this is what it says in the fourth chapter... Read it again. Let's get it very clear and careful. Verse 2. Hereby you know the Spirit of God. Everyone. So now the Spirit of God can't be everyone. Well, there you are. You'd better read your Bible. The Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is now, presently, come, in the flesh, said God. Glory, this is it. Father, Son, and me. Wonderful. I'm going to confess something to you, listen. I confess to you that that's true of me. When the Holy Ghost has got hold of a man, really got hold of a man. Now, he hasn't got hold of me sufficiently yet. Don't let anybody think that I'm telling you I'm the sort of fairy on the top of the tree. I'm not telling you that. But this is the truth that God wants your heart to understand. My beloved brothers and sisters, will you receive this truth? Will you receive this for which Jesus Christ was born and lived and died? And shed his blood and went back there again and poured forth the Spirit that it might be Father, Jesus, and you. What a Trinity. The Holy Ghost is quite content if he can bring you there to say, it's Jesus in the flesh. He's quite content that's what he's come for. That's why he's come. Now have no fear. This is the light to walk in. Let this light guide your life. Let it fill you. You are not predestined to fail and sin and become all fleshy. You are predestined to this glory. Our fellowships with the Father, with His Son. Every spirit that can confess this and walk with God in this blessed humility. Love one another. Oh, beloved. Let's go. Need have no fear. Because verse 7 tells you that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse you from all sin. Hallelujah. What a truth. Walk on in this light as He is. As He is. In this light, we'll all have fellowship one with another. Glory. And His blood will go on all the time, cleansing us from all sin. It won't be a fellowship in filth. It won't be a fellowship in sin. It won't be a fellowship in fleshiness. It won't be a fellowship in worldliness. It's a fellowship in God. Jesus reckoned it was worth laying down His life for this. Shedding His blood for this. That this should be the cleansing agent for keeping us clean all the time. Praise God that we may continue in this knowledge. The Son of God's come. He's here. He's here. Oh, to dance and to skip and to laugh and to sing and to shout and be filled with glee and glory. This knowledge that God has accomplished it. The Holy Ghost, you see, has come. He's come. Father and Son, the Holy Ghost has come down here, praise God, to bring me up there. The Holy Ghost, bless Him, has always been a self-abdicating kind of person. Just to glorify Jesus, if He can come on me, come in me, fill me, glorify me, and bring me up into that position, He's satisfied. He's glorified Himself. The Holy Ghost is glorified in doing this, as Jesus was glorified by hanging on the cross. And the Father is glorified also. And there we are. A Son of God, my brother. What a glorious and precious truth. Are you living here? The Son of God's come. Amen. One last reference. Chapter 2, My Little Children. Isn't this lovely? Now, old grey-headed, grey-bearded John. The old grand... Well, I was going to say granddad, but there aren't any granddads. You only have fathers. But there it is. This great old man, he's got this... He's been living here. Glory. He's been living here. A transformed man, if ever there was one. He writes, now my little children, I know you're only just beginning. He says, I'm writing to you because you know the truth. But oh, what a flood of light He brings to your heart. Is that right? And he writes, he says, now you're only little children, but listen now, let's get this and get this absolutely right. I write unto you, and I'm writing these things that you don't sin anymore. That's why I'm writing to you. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ will not do anything that's wrong. He won't say anything that's wrong. I mean, he won't say, they're lovely people down there. Sin? You say she's sinning? Well, she is really, but I'm not going to say she is. Father, she isn't. Now listen, Jesus doesn't do that. He's Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, do you know Jesus Christ the righteous? Now, you'll soon know whether you know him. Let's read verse 2. He is the propitiation, that is, the place where the sacrifice was made. That's really what it means there in the Greek. I don't want to stop on it now. He is the place where the sacrifice for our sins was made. Hilasterion, the mercy seat. The place where the blood was sprinkled. That's what it's about. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, Jesus Christ the righteous, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now listen, Jesus Christ will only, now listen, do and say the righteous thing about you and for you. That's all he'll do. If you keep on sinning, he won't say, poor little thing, she can't help it. Poor, but I'm very sorry for that man there. He'll say, now that man could be different, but he won't be. And she's desiring the world. That's what it is. See, he's righteous. You can't kid him. You see? He's very righteous. And you and I have got to understand this. If he hasn't come in your flesh, no, don't you count on him saying, advocating for your cause up there and saying, oh, it's all right, Father, yes. No. You see, beloved, it isn't a matter of him up there and you down here. Verse 7 of the first chapter talks about us all walking in the light, in fellowship. As he is. If we aren't as he is, the righteous Jesus won't say we are. If we are, he will say we are. If he hasn't come to you by blood, by water and by blood, he won't say he has. Just to sort of get you in heaven at the last. You see? He's righteous. As well as gracious. He's true. As well as loving. Praise him. Isn't it a wonderful thing? We can know, beloved, that he's come to us. And if he's come to us, what a wonderful sanctuary is this flesh of ours. What a glorious temple of God. What a precious and precious thing this is, beloved. Can you confess that Jesus Christ is come and that he's the Son of God? You really believe everything inside you is transformed, is it? Everything's glorious. And the Holy Ghost has brought you there so that you may walk in this wonder of love and life on the earth. No wonder in that third chapter Oh, John said in the first verse, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Amen. What manner of love is this? You see, this is the thing that scattered the mind and all the imagination. What manner of love? Why, we'd all be saying, thank you a thousand times, Father, if it was only that we got to heaven when we died. But this, oh, glory, this manner of love. This is the manner of his dealings. This is the manner of his ways. This is the manner of the set of his heart. This is the manner of it all, beloved, that we should walk here with God. Are you? Now, I've not talked to you tonight because you don't know the truth. I've talked to you because you know it. And listen, and you know that no lie is of the truth. That's what John goes on to say. You know that no lie is of the truth. And when a man confesses, if he confesses lies, he's not confessing, he's only just telling a story. A man can only confess truth if I said to you now, what do you confess tonight? We'll start in the back row and we'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, come on. What do we all confess tonight? Glory. You may not have been able to have said it just in the way that I've said it. You may not have been able to put all the scriptures together as I have. But that's not the important point. That's why the apostle wrote to them, because they couldn't. And he wrote it to them in a letter. But when they read it, he said, that's right, John. That's right. Absolutely right. That's what the Holy Ghost has done for me. That's the life I'm living in the flesh. And this is the gospel that I preach. And this is the Son of God that I confess. So then, beloved, let's all get on with the great work and glorify him. Amen.